It's the speaker's dinner. We're at Six, the restaurant that overlooks an absolutely incredible vista of Gateshead. And in the distance, Newcastle. Tomorrow, I'm looking... I'm looking at the stage, which is going to be the base for all the talks tomorrow at Thinking Digital 2014. And I've managed to collar a speaker, easy, because we were sat next to each other. Jenny.
Hello.
Who are you? What do you do?
So I'm Jenny Tennyson. I'm the technical director at the Open Data Institute. So I do all things open data.
Now, your Twitter profile has an awful lot of letters in there. What do they mean?
All of them.
First of all, give your Twitter name.
Jenny T, J-E-N-I-T.
Ooh, you must have had that a while ago.
Yeah, I did, but it's quite unusual, I think, maybe. People call me Jennet and often think that I'm Scandinavian. And a man.
It's a man's name.
A man's Scandinavian name. All of the letters in my profile are just there to confuse and obfuscate what I really do and what I'm really interested in. They're a conglomeration of the different technologies that I've worked with over a huge number of years, because I'm very old.
It's like a data, pure data CV.
Yeah, it has really weird things like Liminal, L-M-N-L, which was this strange kind of markup language that I worked on for overlapping markup a long time ago when that was interesting to me.
There's going to be some geeks, or if you're in America, nerds, nodding with a slight smile on their face right
like
now.
Only like five, I think. So it's pretty cool, though. I quite like that. And there's lots more recently, like PSI, Public Sector Information, LOD, I can't even remember what that is. Linked Open Data, of course. Lots of XML, XLT, which were technologies from, again, when I was young, and they were trendy.
So talk about open data. To the uninitiated, why and how important is this?
So that's what I'm going to be talking about tomorrow, where I'm going to be framing it as the data reformation. So I think that open data will have as big an impact on our society as the Protestant Reformation did 500 years ago. That's the pitch that I'm going to be making tomorrow, because I think it changes how we relate to companies, how we relate to government, and how we relate to each other. It changes the way that we communicate.
So masses of data flowing between organisations, between individuals, between networks.
Yeah, but and most importantly, data that's available for everyone to use, that isn't restricted, so that, I mean, already data is flowing between organisations, from government to the private sector, between private sector organisations, but we often don't know what that data is, and it's not available for everyone, it's locked up behind these legal contracts. So I'm really interested in open data as a way of opening that out for everybody to use, having a more level playing field, something where we can all get involved with data and understand what it means, to create our own critiques, to have proper debates about what data is telling us about the world. This is all fascinating to me.
I saw a really good example recently of, I think it was the Environment.
Environment Agency.
The Environment flood Agency releasing some flood data, yeah, but just, yeah, it was almost like just for a hack day or a blink of an eye.
Three months. Managed to agree on. Now, what happened there was that there was a lot of pressure over, obviously, the floods that were happening at the time. It was like, what can we do? Oh, we'll release some data. So the three-month thing means that any data that was released over that 3 months is released under the Open Government License. You can't revoke that. Once that data's out there, then it's open forever.
So they tentatively let 3 months out.
Yeah. And what they're working towards now, still working towards it, because it takes quite a lot of effort to do this. It involves a big financial revenue stream for the Environment Agency, so just opening up this data is problematic, right?
Hang on. So the big wins that came off this 3 months, where we could suddenly analyse flood patterns, where we could look at where we could minimise damage, where we could potentially reduce huge financial impact of actually flooding, that isn't possible to the extent of what we would like, because the data is being held onto because it's worth money. Surely it can't be worth as much money as what it might be helping us?
So this is part of the argument around open data, right? That if government agencies in particular open up data, then the whole country benefits from that. And so the overall benefit, the overall financial benefit is very evident. And there are lots of macroeconomic studies that show that if you open up particularly geographical data or some of these ones, which are actually the ones that you currently make money off, then you get larger benefits over the entire country. But of course, that doesn't take away from the fact that these organisations really need to have some money too. I mean, look at the work the Environment Agency does. It needs to be funded somehow, and that is a portion of its revenue stream and not one to be sniffed at. Now, we have to try and take these organisations on a journey, and it is a journey that you start slowly and that you gradually work towards having something that's open data, but we can't just think that all these organisations are going to flip like that and open everything up, because they can't financially. It's just not viable. But we can take them on that journey. We can think about what kinds of new business models they can adopt that give them the benefits from opening up the data that they have, right?
Is it possible to see correlations between insurance organisations and companies realising the benefit of that data being open, so that catastrophes can be averted and therefore payouts don't happen, so we will trickle feed, we'll sponsor?
Yeah, I mean, insurance companies are really, are obviously really, really interested in open data, because the more data that they have, the better the models that they can build, and the more accurate the fees that they'll be asking from all of us. They view it as a $1 billion, whatever industry, is something that is really untapped at the moment, and some they do try and press for government to open up more of their data. Of course, whenever any organisation asks for data from government or from somebody else, then I always ask, what can they give back to? Because we're not just talking about opening up government data so that it can be exploited, particularly by big organisations, but about how we can create a data commons so that everybody is benefiting from data that we're all collecting about ourselves. And I'd love for insurance companies to, as the kind of quid pro quo of getting quite a lot of open data from government, to also be thinking about what data they can open up based on their analyses for everybody else to benefit from. So try and think of it as a two-way thing rather than just as a government spitting it out for everyone else to use.
And that two-way relationship is going to become even more of a talking point when it comes down to the individual data that we are producing. And we're producing a lot of data, aren't we?
We are, and often unknowingly. So, you know, we get monitored all the time and everywhere we go, and that data is used by the companies that collect it. And we don't know. We don't have the transparency around that data that I wish that we did.
Do you think it should be made public without...
No,
consenting every individual?
There's no way that I think that personal data should be made available without the consent of the individual. There are cases where it has to be made available legally, that for example, notices in the Gazette, where you have to open up that data because legally it's a public notice and so it should be made available. And there are also cases where people choose themselves to open up data about themselves. Like there was this Italian guy who had a brain tumour, and he opened up all of his medical records so that other people could turn it into art, which is an amazing kind of thing to do. But in the vast majority of cases, I think that there needs to be some really strong thought and regulation around the opening up of personal data. And I think actually open data has lots of role to play there in terms of managing what gets opened up of our personal data. So, for example, if you look at the National Pupil Database, which is a record of every pupil since 1995, I think, anybody who has been in education through that time, very detailed personal information about children that is currently made available for research purposes in order to aid educational aid education in the future. What they've done, which is really good, is that they've made available as open data the list of people who have requested it, including all the private sector organisations who have requested data and what they've allowed them to have, and the purpose to a certain extent of why they've requested that data.
It's hard to anonymise this kind of data as well, if
so
you think about it.
That data is closed, restricted, personal data. It is not open data. It's not being made available for general purposes.
But you know who holds it.
But you know who holds it, and you know who is getting hold of it, right? Because there's open data about who gets hold of it. So I think that there's a role for open data even in those cases, but it's about them making it transparent, about making it accountable around who gets hold of our very, very personal data.
So what kind of standards do we have now, and what would you like to see in the near future?
Standards around personal data.
Open data. I mean, what kind of parameters do we already recognise across the board, or don't we have any?
So in terms of... in terms of thinking about what data can be made open, where you're thinking about personal data in particular, then there's something called the Privacy Impact Assessment, which is a process that you go through, and this is written down by ICO, Information Commissioner's Office, and that's a process of multi-stakeholder engagement where you ask people about what the impact would be if this data was made available, and there are various kinds of techniques that can then be used also to anonymise the data properly, to make sure if you're releasing statistical data that there are disclosure controls over the top of it. So there's quite a lot in the personal data space around what to do when you are thinking about releasing personal data. And you know, where there have been problems, it's because people haven't been paying attention to those standards and they haven't been going through these privacy impact assessments properly. In terms of standards for open data and when publishing open data, also one of the things that we've developed at the Open Data Institute is something called the Open Data Certificate, which is a kind of quality mark, like a kite mark, for open data. And what we've tried to do there is cover the whole gamut of what makes good open data. So it's not just like the technical bits, the technical standards about the formats that you publish it in. It's not just the legal stuff about making sure that there's an open license associated with the data so that you legally say that people can use this for whatever purpose. But it's also about making sure that it's there are some guarantees about it continuing to be available over time, because nobody can build anything on top of open data that's only released for 3 months, right? So what kind of guarantees do you have over that data? And also looking at kind of the social aspects of how do you encourage people to use the data, what kind of communities you grow around that data as well. So that's Open Data Certificate, little plug from the ODI, and we encourage anybody who's thinking about doing open data to go through that certification process, because it helps them to think through the issues that there are when publishing open data and do it well.
And they can learn as they go.
Exactly right, yeah.
So, plug for the website?
Theodi.org.
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 And plug for you, have you got your own personal blog?
I do have my own personal blog, though it's sadly neglected. This is on www.jennytennyson.com/blog.
Thank you very much. And you're talking first thing tomorrow at Thinking Digital.
I am, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Early night then?
Oh, maybe, we'll see.
Thank you so much for sharing.
All right, thank you.